So our reading this afternoon is from Matthew chapter 5. We're continuing our series in the Beatitudes. And just to remind us of that, we're going to read those this afternoon. Matthew 5, verses 3 to 10. This is the Lord Jesus speaking, and it says, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Amen. My dear friends, Jesus proclaims in the seventh beatitude, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." And those are the words that we're going to be dwelling on here this afternoon. Blessed are who? The peacemakers. And why? Because they will be called children of God. Now, seeing as we are living in this hashtag blessed generation, you might be forgiven for thinking that we must also be living in a generation of great peace. But yet when we look around us, the opposite seems to be the case. There seems to be so little peace in our community, in our nation, and in our world. For the news reports remind us constantly of wars and genocide, terrorism and poverty, of brutal crimes and mass shootings, road rage and elder abuse, of violent protests, of strike action, and sexual assault and domestic violence and class actions and online bullying and so on and so on. But as we think about the things that go on in our world, we do need to ask ourselves, are we really any better? I know that my natural tendency is to pick fault and criticise, to provoke and inflame, to argue and debate, to exasperate and to agitate. And I don't think that I'm alone in those things. I'm not the only one. For by nature, we're actually not peacemakers, but we're troublemakers. And that's exactly what makes this teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ so radical. But we need to understand that it's even more radical than we might first realise. Because you see, the world's definition of peace is simply that the violence and the conflict and the hostilities will stop. But the Bible's definition goes so much further than that. You might be familiar with that Old Testament concept of shalom. Shalom is not just the absence or the ending of troubles, but it is actually the presence and the increase of joy and comfort and security and wholeness and well-being. And that, my friends, is what Jesus is talking about here in our passage tonight. And so if we're ever going to grasp the full meaning of this beatitude, then we actually need to begin not with ourselves, but we need to begin with our Lord, because He is the source of true peace. You see, the Lord created this world to be very good. The first chapters of Genesis tell us that very clearly. The world was created perfect. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve lived in harmony with God, in harmony with creation, and in harmony with each other. In the beginning, none of these problems that I mentioned earlier yet existed because there was peace. But then it was we, through our first parents, who ruined it through our sin. For For we rebelled against God. We found ourselves at odds with the creation. And the relationship between people changed dramatically. And who could not be shocked as we read on to chapter 4 of Genesis to see how in the very next generation it already escalated into jealousy, rage and murder. With still only four people living upon this earth, Cain violently killed his own brother, Abel. And so the peace that God had created was shattered. Shattered by our own depravity and wickedness. And it's exactly that that we continue to see all around us in the world and in our lives today. But yet the thing we need to understand tonight, my friends, is that the Lord has always been and always will be the champion of peace. Despite our human rebellion, He is the one who longs to bring restoration to these broken relationships, both with Him and with each other. Perhaps you remember the well-known words of that blessing in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Or there's the conclusion of Psalm 29, where where it says, the Lord gives strength to His people, the Lord blesses His people with peace. Or if we move across to the New Testament, we can think of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where Paul writes, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Friends, our God loves peace, and He is the ultimate peacemaker. And this, of course, was ultimately revealed in the sending of His own Son. For in Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 9, many years before His birth, do you remember how Jesus was described? He was described as the Prince of Peace. And in chapter 53 of that same book, it said that the punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. When He was born, the angels in Luke chapter 2 sang glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favour rests. And in John chapter 16, Jesus said to His own disciples, I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. But how then does Jesus bring about this amazing peace? Well, it is by His whole life and His atoning death. For the very reason why the Lord Jesus came into this world was to reconcile man to God. And He did that by taking our place, by being our substitute, by living the holy life that God required, and by taking the punishment for sin that we deserved. Because of Jesus and His cross, our debt is paid and our rebellion is covered. Because of Jesus and His cross, we can truly find reconciliation. And so if we want to find peace with our God, then we need to turn to Him and trust in Him alone. And so in Romans chapter 5, Paul declares these words, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And in Colossians chapter 1, Paul again writes, for God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. And so we discover that our God, through Jesus, is indeed the ultimate peacemaker. But the point of our text and of our message here tonight is that we are not only blessed to experience God's peace as a dimension of his saving work in our lives, but that we are also called upon to become agents of God's peace as an outflow of our salvation and of the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts. That's why Jesus says of peacemakers that they will be called children of God. As children, we don't only benefit from our adoption into the family of our Heavenly Father, but we also start to resemble our Father, following in his ways and growing to be like him. And so if our Heavenly Father is the ultimate peacemaker, then surely that is going to shine through in our lives as well. That's why in Hebrews chapter 12 it says, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy." And in James chapter 3, James writes, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness," James says. And as I'm sure you also know, in Galatians chapter 5, we are reminded that one of those aspects of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And so we now come to the crux of this beatitude. For Jesus does not say to us here, "Blessed are the peaceful. Blessed are those who are at peace." But he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." This is not passive, but it is active. It is a call that God places on each one of our lives. But what does that really mean for you or me as we sit here tonight? What are the implications of being a peacemaker? What is Jesus actually calling on us to do? Well, in the very broadest of terms, to be a peacemaker is to be someone who strives to bring harmony and reconciliation and well-being into every possible situation of life. It is to fight our natural urge to be a troublemaker, to create tension and dispute and discouragement. And instead, it is to consider how we can make life better, how we can be a positive influence, how we can be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And there are lots of areas where this can be applied. Let's think first of all of the relationship of marriage. There are so many couples who experience conflict and friction and breakdown. But for those of us here tonight who are married, what's our attitude toward our spouse? I think we all know that it's so easy to fall into unhealthy patterns, to always be looking for faults and problems and unmet expectations. But I ask you tonight, what good does that do? In speaking about marriage in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul says, "God has called us to live in peace." And so in our relationship with our husband or our wife, let us learn to be the peacemaker. And let us also learn to help others when their marriages are facing troubles. But what about in our wider families? How often don't children despise their parents? Or fathers and mothers exasperate their kids? How often don't extended families experience disputes and fallouts and people who can't stand each other or can't be in the same room together or who cut off all ties with each other? But we need to ask ourselves tonight, what role are we playing? Are we going to stick to our guns? Are we going to take the high moral ground? Are we going to expect the other to apologise first? Or will we actually stop and listen to what our Lord Jesus is telling us and be the one who who seeks peace. And what about in the church? There are times here too when conflicts can arise through personal or business relationships gone sour, through disagreements about decisions made or the way things are done. It may be another family who did you wrong. It may be someone who you served with in a ministry. It may be the leadership. It may be the pastor. But what will you do? Will you continue with the disparaging remarks, feeding the gossip, rolling your eyes and dripping with sarcasm, maintaining the rage and the tension? In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." And what about in other situations of your life? What sort of person are you at work? When things don't go your way, when people treat you badly, when the boss makes a decision you don't like? Are you a troublemaker or a peacemaker? What about in the supermarket when the checkout operator takes longer than they should? Or in the bank when they stuff you around over and over again? Are you a peacemaker or a troublemaker? Or what about when that driver cuts you off on the road? Or you just have to wait far too long in the emergency department? Or the call centre takes forever to answer your call? Troublemaker or peacemaker? You know, my friends, I'm the first to admit that I'm prone to impatience and frustration and anger. My upbringing taught me to stand up for myself and to speak my mind and not to put up with nonsense. But you know, as a result, there have been times when unwise words were spoken, provocative actions were taken, and conflict and harm resulted. And I've been the cause. And then I look back later in shame and think, well, what sort of Christian am I? But what about you? Are there certain people that press your buttons? Behaviours that make you irritated, situations that raise your ire? Maybe for you that happens from time to time. Maybe it happens all the time. But how will we respond? Do we embrace the controversy, actually enjoy the confrontation, take some perverse pleasure in the hurt that we can cause? Or are we honestly and humbly seeking to promote God's peace? Now, don't get me wrong, this doesn't mean that there won't still be times when we find ourselves in hostile situations. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." And as I also read earlier in John chapter 16, Jesus said there, "In this world you will have trouble." So does this then contradict the seventh beatitude? Does this mean Jesus is actually not the peacemaker we thought he was? Well, not at all. Jesus is simply making the point that when you are true to him and when you are true to his word and to his gospel, that there will be some who take offence, and they may even be in your own family. And so this is where we should remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. He says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." As Christians, we may well experience times of strife, but my friends, may we never be the cause of the strife. May we never be the troublemakers. As far as it depends on us, let us live at peace with everyone. So as we conclude, I want to encourage each of us here tonight to reflect just a bit more deeply on Jesus' words to us today. Our Lord has come to us first and made peace between us and Him. He has removed the conflict that separated us because of our sin. And He has given us every blessing. He has put us in a state of wholeness and well-being. But now He calls on us to respond and to follow His example in being peacemakers in our lives. So will we listen to the call? Just imagine, if you would, the difference that this would make in our relationships. Relationships with our husband or wife, with our kids or our parents, with our siblings, our friends, our neighbours. Imagine a more peaceful classroom or a more peaceful workplace. Imagine the benefits for our growth groups or our committees that we're involved in. Imagine the blessing for our church. Just imagine, my friends, the benefit for your own heart and for the hearts of others as we intentionally avoid creating conflict, as we intentionally seek to calm the friction that exists between others, as we intentionally seek to bring shalom into every situation. The first step is to make a conscious decision to not be a troublemaker. Then we must learn to be more caring about others, seeking to look at them through God's eyes. Add to that a good dose of compassion, humility, and grace. And then we need to learn to control our tongues, learning what it truly means to speak the truth in love. And finally, we need to increasingly think about ways to bring encouragement and to help others and to build them up. How incredibly difficult this is when we try to do it in our own strength. So my friends, let us ask the Lord to work in us, to change us and to mould us. Let us ask the Lord to free us from the pattern of this world and to give to us a new attitude, an attitude that is unnatural, unexplainable and unexpected. Let us ask Him to make us what this world so desperately needs, selfless peacemakers. And then we will truly discover His blessing. For we will resemble our Heavenly Father. We will be His ambassadors in this world, and we will be called children of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before You, and we want to, first of all, consider our own lives. And Lord, we want to look back and remember times and places when we have indeed been troublemakers. Lord, times when we have provoked, times when we have been sarcastic, times when we have snidely caused trouble instead of peace. And Father, we ask for Your forgiveness for those things. Lord, we pray that You would help us to consider, first of all, how You have treated us. Lord, we were Your enemies through our own sin, but yet You sought us and You made peace with us, even though we did not deserve it. And Father, we thank You that through that peace that we have found by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we can now know Your blessing and Your wholeness and Your well-being in our lives. But Father, we pray, help us to listen to this beatitude, to what Jesus is teaching us tonight. Lord, help us to be peacemakers ourselves. And Lord, we want to stop and think now about various situations in our life, areas where we could make a difference. And Father, we pray that You would enable us to do so. Lord, as we seek Your forgiveness for times when we have failed, We pray, help us not to next time. We pray that we would indeed be bringing reconciliation and harmony in all the situations of our life. Lord, whether that be work, whether that be family, whether that be church, Father, we pray that we might be a witness for you. Lord, that we might be a channel of your peace. And Father, we pray that as we do, we would draw nearer to you, that we would experience your blessing, and that we might be reassured that we are your children. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.